Senator John Braun, hold on the line. I know you're going to be with us, but I want to set this story up. Brandi Crews got a whistleblower that alerted her to the community reinvestment program that was started in 2022. So I'm going to give you a chance to respond to the investigation, but to bring everybody up to speed on the work that you're doing. Hold on, Senator.
This story came to me from a whistleblower who is a real estate broker, a managing broker, and she's half black, half white. And I do think that her race is important for the story, because this was a program that was built around this idea of equity, which is a word I just don't believe in. But, you know, and I have my own personal opinions on the, you know, money that our state has spent on equity-driven programs.
Sure.
So this was one of the programs that came out, you know, that was pushed through the legislature post-George Floyd in this era of race and social justice. And it's called the Community Reinvestment Program. And it was supposed to help people who were disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs. So it was basically initially a $200 million pot of money that would be sent out to BIPOC nonprofits that would contract through the state. And their job was to distribute this money to members of the black community and a list of like five or six other races, essentially. And the money could be used for things like down payment assistance, debt forgiveness, small business loans. So the idea was get this money in the hands of communities of color that were disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs.
So, Senator John Braun, what happened once that program was put in place in 2022?
Well, based on everything we're hearing now, is there's been a series of misuses of the money. We see, we have pretty strong evidence of folks who are, you know, the money goes to the Department of Commerce, who distributes to a whole network of nonprofits in Washington State. And what we see so far is that those nonprofits are self-dealing, that they're providing help to their friends or relatives of the folks who are associated with their nonprofits, while turning other folks away, saying they don't have enough money to help them. In some cases, there's evidence where multiple nonprofits are helping the same person to the tune of several hundred thousand dollars, while telling others who are making a much more modest request, no, there's not enough funds to help you right now. So this seems to be a very, very deep controversy. We're still learning more about it, but this deserves additional investigation by the Department of Commerce, by the Attorney General's office. It frankly deserves oversight hearings from the legislature.
Isn't the community reinvestment program, I believe there's also a lawsuit pending. I think somebody out there is looking into, under the 14th Amendment, why are you discriminating against one group of people to create funds for, you know, another group? Trying to, and you know, if you looked at, I don't know where you were on the vote on this thing. To me, it's like, well, the hoops that make you jump through show us that you were discriminated, or your grandfather, your grandmother was somehow redlined, and therefore it's affected your ability to gain capital in the market. You can't get a house. So now we're going to make it right for you. We're going to give you money for a down payment because of the discrimination that you may or may not have experienced, or somebody, one of your family members have. It's kind of murky, and it seems like they want it to be sort of hard to pin down. But now that the program is in place, it's been there, it's being funded. Now it looks like people are taking advantage of it.
Yeah, this is exactly the reason me and all the other Republicans in the legislature oppose the program. This is the idea of that we're going to discriminate against, use discrimination to try to help people that may have been, or their ancestors may have been, discriminated against in the past. That situation never wins, and basically sets up exactly the type of corruption that we're seeing evidence of now. And you're right, there is a longstanding lawsuit. You know, there's some question whether this violates the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. I don't know the status of that lawsuit, and in our court system, that's going to likely take a long time. But it is manifestly unfair, arguably unethical and immoral, what we're seeing actually happen as a result of this, where folks are just taking this money and using it to help their friends and relatives and leaving others behind. It's not serving the broader purpose of the mission. And frankly, the way it was structured, it was never, I think, equitably serving all of Washington. If you're going to use public money to allow folks more access to housing, it should be available to anyone that has a verifiable need, regardless of ethnicity or race or skin color.
Yeah, I think Asians were not part of the program, but you could say, well, hey, if we interned a whole bunch of them and then they got out of internment camps, thank you, Roosevelt, and weren't they also discriminated against? Wouldn't that also affect them? But they weren't involved in the program. And also Jews were not in the program as well. So they kind of carved it out for one group. You know what? In 1970, that's the last statistic I found, the black home ownership in 1970 was at 50%. It's at 28% now. So are we more racist now than we were in 1968, 69, and 70 when we had 50% of black home ownership? It's dropped precipitously. Is that directly because of racism? But this law was put in place during the whole George Floyd thing. So let's create these carve-out programs and then let's, you know, give people money. So what will this investigation do? As the senator, John, with the power that you have in place, do you start pushing this thing? And do you actually believe that people will start to really overturn some of these rocks and look underneath and see what's crawling around under there?
Well, I think they're going to be forced to. Now, you know, is a senator in the minority? Am I going to get legislative oversight hearings? I don't know. I'm going to push for it, and I think our caucus will push for it. It's going to be up to the majority ultimately. We have had some, I think Brandy reported on this, the Joe Wynn, the Secretary of Commerce, has said this is unacceptable. It deserves investigation, and more importantly, deserves transparency. I think that's the right thing to say. Now, whether we actually do that or not remains a question. There's some indication that the attorney general is looking into this, but they won't, of course, say during an investigation. But I'll withhold judgment until I see what they actually do. But we should push for transparency. Maybe there is criminal behavior, maybe there's not. But at the very least, it's undermining trust in state government. It's undermining trust in of taxpayers and that the money they pay to the state is being used for good ends. And it deserves more transparency. It should, you know, we have. It was originally $200 million put into this, so not small money. And then this year, in spite of the deficit, the Democrats put an additional $50 million into it. That's a lot of money, and I think the public deserves to know what it was spent for. Let them make their own decision at the very least.
Well, and also the money, it's being funded. So you go to buy a house, and as you're going through the paperwork, for each one you pay a fee on all of them. So that increases the cost of having to buy a house. Then the money goes into the pot, but then you also have other money in there, part of it. After the passing of a $9 billion historic tax increase in the state of Washington, and now in January, go back into session again, they're looking for even more money because apparently they've got this big deficit and now they're looking for even more. Aren't people just shocked, John, by what appears to be the callousness of those that are in power in Olympia? That they're coming back again and asking for even more and more and more of people's hard-earned dollars?
Yeah, what I hear over and over again is we can't afford this, whether it's food, gas, housing, childcare, healthcare, increasingly unaffordable in Washington. And the maybe not immediately, but once presented with the facts, the average Washingtonian absolutely is tired of additional taxes that they pay either directly or indirectly in the case of like a business and occupation tax. They're very, very frustrated. A lot of folks, you know, they're living their lives. They're not necessarily tuned in to what's happening in Olympia every day, but they recognize that things just keep getting more and more expensive in Washington. And the policy coming out of Olympia is making Washington an increasingly difficult place to live. So a lot of frustration out there as I talk to folks around my district, around Southwest Washington.
What do you hope to accomplish as you head back into session in January? What would be the first couple of things that Republicans try to do?
I think the very top of the list has to be responsible, sustainable budget practices. We can't, you know, the majority of Democrats, they have a tax first mentality. If there's a problem in our state, their immediate solution is we got to tax more so we can spend more money on it. And they don't seem to be all that concerned about outcomes. We just talked about a program that's clearly gone off the rails. You know, folks make, you know, including legislators, they make mistakes sometimes, but if they're working in good faith, they go back and fix their mistakes and try and correct them. What we need to see out of the majority Democrats is a candor that they've gotten things wrong, particularly when it's come to the budget. We have a budget crisis, not because we're in a recession, not because revenues for the state are going down. We have a budget crisis because they've just flat out overspent at a rate of nearly double what you've seen household budgets increase around the state in Washington. You know, if you look at the growth in the budget, it's about twice what the growth in median income. When you have revenue at the state level growing twice as fast as how average household incomes, and yet we are running out of money, you know we have a spending problem. So that's got to be the top of the list. We got to get control of the growth in spending.
You know, but that's that kind of thing's been said. God bless his soul. Andy Hill said that. Dino Rossi saying that. People have been saying that, screaming that at the Hill for the longest time. We don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem, right? But it keeps going and going and going. Senator, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. It's sort of last minute, and we really do appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Have a nice evening.
Thank you, Senator John Brown. Appreciate it.